Take a ride with us today to the North Shore, Lake Forest to be exact. A city full of people, places, and things perfect for raising a family. Listen all day as we show you why Lake Forest should be your hometown.
Ah, yes, the Apollo 13 theme. Being a space junkie, I'll use any excuse to get Jim Lovell on our broadcast. And when I heard Lake Forest would be the place on our Your Hometown feature today, I thought, perfect. We'll get their most famous resident. Here he is, the pilot of Gemini 7, commander of Gemini 12. He navigated Apollo 8, the first manned spacecraft to orbit the moon, and famously guided the Apollo 13 crew safely back to Earth. Good morning, Captain. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's always good to talk to you. Although you were born in Cleveland, you went to high school in Milwaukee and then to the University of Wisconsin in Madison, so you're definitely a Midwest guy. Is that why you decided to settle in Lake Forest?
Well, that is, of course, a couple of reasons. First of all, this is a great town, but I was down in Texas and running a telephone company down there. Well, we bought a company up here in Chicago, and then they asked me if I would go up there and run the Chicago division, and I said, fine. And so I came up here, and when I started working up here, I met a fellow that worked in the telephone company, but he also lived in Lake Forest.
Hmm.
And so he said, you ought to come up and take a look at this place. And I said, well, that sounds pretty good. So I did. Marilyn and I came up here, and we looked around. And as a matter of fact, I heard about this place before, because when we were first married years ago, and she's from Milwaukee, we were on our honeymoon, and we were driving up to Milwaukee from through Chicago, and we stopped at a Walgreens for breakfast in Lake Forest. and so we looked around. That sounds pretty, looked pretty good. So when I came up here to run the company, I met several people from Lake Forest, and we soon got up there and found a place to live. We first lived in Villa Turicum, Lake Forest.
Mm-hmm. And what do you enjoy most about the community there, Captain?
Well, it's laid back. It's a nice community, and it's people are very friendly, and the town is nice to visit. We bought a house on Lake Road, and we're within walking distance of the beach. And, you know, Lake Forest has a beach up here, and so that was, you know, really great. Mm-hmm. And so we enjoyed it all our lives.
Over the years, you've been kind enough to indulge my obsession with the space program and talk with me on TV and radio many times, but I don't think I ever asked you about your parents. How did they influence you in what you did later in life?
Well, unfortunately, I was the product of a sort of a divided marriage. My father actually died when I was a youngster, and so I was brought up by my mother. And I have to tell you, she did a wonderful job. When I was going through high school, we lived in a one-room apartment, so that's all we could afford. And very fortunately, at my senior year of high school, a recruiter came from the Navy looking for naval aviators. And naturally, I had no money for anything else, so I quickly applied for that. And they sent me to college at Wisconsin and then down to start my flight training. And when I got down there, I had forgotten I had applied for the Naval Academy.
Hmm.
And suddenly the Navy called the commander officer about flight training and said, this fellow has applied for the Naval Academy. And so I was called in. I said, yes, I was. And they said, well, if you really want to make the Navy a career, you better go. So I did. And I went to the Naval Academy and graduated in 52.
Do I remember you saying that you really got interested in astronomy and space travel early on, in part because of your visits to Chicago and the Adler Planetarium?
That's true. When I was in Milwaukee, I read a part of a book, and it was all about using rockets to explore stream allergens. And then I came down to Chicago to visit my mother down here, and I would go to the planetarium. To listen to all the stuff they had to talk down there, and I got so acquainted with them that every time I came to Chicago, I visited the place, and finally when I moved here, I went there almost permanently, and just recently I retired from there, but I enjoyed that all quite a bit.
You're one of only three men to travel to the moon twice, but unlike astronauts Gene Cernan and John Young, you never walked on it. How do you get over that disappointment, or do you?
Well, I think you just have to live with it. You know, I know that I'll never walk on the moon, but I did go and see the moon for the very first time, and then I made several trips. And as a matter of fact, on the Apollo 13 flight, because we had the accident, we actually have a sort of a record of being farther from the Earth than anybody else.
Right. And it looks like we're going to the moon again. What do you think? Are we on the right track?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, I think we are on the right track. But, I mean, it keeps getting delayed. And, of course, the weather down there now isn't helpful.
Right. Yeah. Well, eventually, I guess they'll get that going. Jim, you're in the history books, of course. What part of your life story should young people who weren't around during your space missions pay closest attention to? What do you hope people read about and pay most attention to about the things you've done?
Well, I kind of think that I was growing up very, very poor. My mother had a hard time keeping us, you know, going, but she really developed me to go to school and do a good job and do various things. And so I think that listening to your parents is one of the reasons for me, or at least my mother, why I did what I did do.
And I know you're most proud of Apollo 8, and if they made a movie of that mission, it would have been pretty good too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that was a surprise. I was, you know, surprised when Ron Howard decided to do the movie.
Yeah, I'm 13, yeah, but the more you read about Apollo 8, the more you realize how dramatic a mission that was, right?
Yeah, Apollo 8 was really the highlight of my career.
And let's get this straight once and for all on Apollo 13. Jack Swigert, the astronaut, said from space, talking to Mission Control, "We have a problem here." And then Mission Control said, "Would you say that again, please?" And then you said, "Houston, we've had a problem." Is that how it went?
That's exactly how it went. Swigert was the first person to say that, and the control people wanted a double check to make sure that they heard him right. So they called back and said, "What did you say?" or something like that. And then I said, "Houston, we have a problem."
Now we got it straight from the commander, Jim Lovell. Jim, it's always great to talk to you. Stay healthy. Our best to Marilyn. And by the way, say hi to your son, Jay, Jay Lovell's restaurant there in Highwood. I'm hooked on his delicious, healthy salmon, but tell him the problem I have with this place is I can't leave there without getting his cherry pie.
Hey, you're right. That cherry pie is great, isn't it?
All the best to you. About that, the commander, Jim Lovell, as we spotlight Lake Forest today. I almost used Dave Ennett's line. He told me, tell Jim you're like the Ernie Banks of space travel, having been so close to the moon but never stepped on it. You know, just like Ernie in a World Series. But I chickened out on that one. News coming out next at 10 from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Your hometown. Get your hometown content and submit your suggestions at WGNRadio.com/yourhometown.